The U.S. State Department's Connects podcasting team presents the third of our crowdsourced podcast series on development partnerships between the United States and Africa. Today, the importance of financial incentives in forest conservation. Joining us is John Flynn, director of USAID's Central African Regional Program for the Environment. In December 2009, in the Danish capital of Copenhagen, negotiators from around the world will gather to formulate a new global framework to address climate change. 12 years ago, negotiators completed the Kyoto Protocol, the first global treaty on climate change. In the meantime, new research and a changing economic landscape have added urgency to the task of mitigating greenhouse gas emissions. Among the concerns now facing the global community is the creation of incentives to conserve tropical forests. The fate of tropical forests is closely linked to economics and the ways that communities and governments use the forest for development purposes. In part three of our conversation with John Flynn, director of the U.S. Agency for International Development's Central African Regional Program for the Environment, Flynn tells us that the results of the Copenhagen Conference, while not known at this time, will have a large influence on the future options for forest conservation.
It's a work in progress, and there's intensive discussions going on right around the globe on this subject right now. My own personal perspective is that there's been a critical mass of collective opinion around the world, and including in the United States, that we have to become activists to consider how to fight global climate change, or how to mitigate, or how to adapt, or that we can't ignore it. And what comes out of this global negotiation process is anybody's guess at this moment. But what my particular interest on this is how tropical forest will figure into the final formula. As I mentioned earlier, it's well known, or at least this is what the IPCC has come up with, is that about 20% of total emissions come from conversion of tropical forest. Therefore, if we're going to be successful in dealing with greenhouse gas emissions, we can't ignore tropical forests. But it's a very complicated subject and how to cope with it. My own feeling is very strong that we have to create incentives for conservation, because if you look at the Congo Basin and you look at the threats to the forest at the current time, now time has a way of changing all things. At the current time, the principal degradation and loss of the forest is from what we would call unsustainable practices by local people trying to eke out a living. And this is from selling firewood and cutting forests for firewood. It's for starting small-scale farms where they have to clear the forest, and then they start burning, and then the fires get out of control, and it starts degrading the forest. In order for the forest conservation to be ultimately successful, we have to find ways for the people that are de facto managing the forest, which is the local communities by and large in Central Africa, to become financially rewarded for good stewardship of that forest. I think that our program is creating some structures that can happen. It's not a simple matter, because we have to find ways for these local people that are basically not well educated to start participating in the global markets and global issues. But as my previous notes indicated, they are not ignorant. They understand that something's going on, and they have a strong desire to protect the forest. It's their ancestral lands in many cases, and they have a strong tradition of managing the forest. But as you get more and more population pressures, there's more and more pressure to clear forest for livelihoods. At the same time, we're seeing governments searching for ways to increase their revenues for the state. They don't have a way to generate income to serve their own people, even if they had the capacity to do it at this present time. So what we're seeing is governments also searching for ways to find value in the forest for immediate development needs. And that has been most recently through logging. And logging can be sustainable at some level, done properly. And so our implementing partners, we call them, the conservation groups, are actually in many cases embracing the logging companies, because through good logging practices, we can assure at least some level of sustainable forest management. It's a bit of a paradox, but in effect, the market rules in that sense. The timber can only enter into certain markets if it's known and proven that it's cut in a certain way that's sensitive to the environment and in favor of local communities' benefits, because the logging is done in right where people are living. There are people throughout the Central African forest. It's been inhabited for thousands of years, unlike some other tropical forests which are relatively new settled. But the African tropical forest had residents as long as it's been a forest. It's widely part of the culture. I think this is what people are discussing now. There's always questions of national sovereignty and other pressing questions that we're going to have to find collectively a solution. It needs to have some kind of collaborative agreement. And this is why this framework discussion on climate change may be the ultimate way to handle that kind of issue. It's sensitive, and I understand that it, you know, if they were talking about forests in the United States, we would also be very sensitive about that. We would not be taken kindly to somebody telling us we can't cut some trees down to build houses, the same way that Africans are not happy to hear somebody from outside say you shouldn't be cutting any trees. Our role and the role of the international community is to really help these developing countries develop their own capacity and to create the financial structure and incentives that it makes it in their interest, short-term, medium-term, and long-term, to become a part of that framework.
Join us next week as we discuss ecosystem services and the role of ecotourism in forest conservation. To learn more about U.S. partnerships with Central Africa, visit the CARPE website at carpe.umd.edu. The U.S. State Department would like to invite you to be part of a global podcast production. We're using a social media research method called crowdsourcing to gather ideas and suggestions from our audience to guide our podcast productions. For more information, you can reach us through email at podcast@state.gov or visit our Facebook page. Search for Connects Listen to the World. Connects Listen to the World is hosted by the U.S. State Department's Bureau of International Information Programs. Links to other internet sites or opinions expressed in podcasts or on the Connects Facebook page should not be considered an endorsement of other content or views on the part of the U.S. State Department.